article in The Australian, first of all, really caught my eye. It's about a service called TeenSafe, actually. Quite controversial. It allows parents to spy on their children's smartphone usage. That includes texts, social media and the like. You put some sort of application onto the phones and you can get some sort of log of exactly what the kids are up to through the smartphone. Is it for the children's safety or does it infringe their privacy? I guess it's a bit of a fine line. Angus Kidman is editor of Lifehacker Australia and joins us. G'day, Angus.
G'day, Pete.
Just explain to everyone exactly how this service, which is very, very popular over in the United States, how it actually works.
Well, basically, you have to install a kind of small bit of software onto your kid's phone or have the ability to log into their iCloud account. Once you've done that, you get a dashboard which shows you what texts they've been sending, what messages they've been sending out, what they've been doing on Facebook and Instagram. So it gives you that option of being able to monitor what they're up to when they're using some of the more popular services on their phone.
And it's been wildly popular in the United States?
I believe there's a segment of people for whom that's the way that they see is the most effective way of, you know, kind of dealing with a world that perhaps they don't understand very well. And they think, well, if they can keep an eye on everything that's happening, that might be the best way of keeping it under control.
It's an interesting philosophical argument, isn't it? I mean, we can sit here and say, on the one hand, look, in the perfect world, we've got this great relationship with our kids where we can talk about anything that's troubling them or anything new that they discover on the internet or that their friends are doing. But we all know that kids can also be very, very secretive from time to time.
Well, yeah, and kids always are. And I mean, when kids are going to be secretive anyway, and even a service like this, it's not going to monitor everything because there's always new options that pop up, the ways you can communicate in different apps. And unless it's supervising all of them, the effect is, may well be that they just concentrate on the ones they can't get onto rather than, sticking to using the ones that you happen to know about and might be monitoring. So it's a difficult one to solve. I don't think there's any perfect way of dealing with it.
Angus, most of the time also, when we're talking about the younger generation, they're a couple of steps ahead of the parents as far as technological know-how.
Indeed. So, they're more likely to work out those options than the parents are. And I do wonder, if your kids are really busy online using these things, do you really have time to go through every single Facebook conversation they've had and look at every Instagram post that they've liked? That's quite a lot of work.
What do you think? Is it if parents decide that that's what they want to use and download the software that allows them to keep track, do you think that's an invasion of the children's privacy?
Not at all, but I think if the parents are going to do it, they need to be up front and they need to tell the kids that that's what
right.
they're doing. I don't buy into, and the TeenSafe site kind of plays both hands on this, and says, oh, we think it's fine for you to put it on without telling your kids. I don't buy that. I think by all means you're entitled to say, look, we've paid for this device, we're responsible for you, we can keep an eye on it. But I think by telling them you're doing that, that also opens up the conversation so that if something untoward does happen to them online, they'll talk to you about it. If you act like it's a big secret and they're doing the wrong thing, they may not come and talk to you about it when it really is a problem.
When you talk about legalities also, I mean, if you were to install that sort of software on someone else's phone, let's say it's not your child, put it on someone else's phone, I'm sure that would be illegal, so I'm not sure what the difference is if it is someone in your family, if you don't tell them that is.
I think it's a very grey area. There's some sort of fairly bold legal statements on the TeenSafe site saying, I know this is clearly legal if you're paying the kid's phone bill, but for starters, they're talking about US law, not Australian law. And I think it would be less clear-cut than that, especially as kids get older. So, again, I think if you wanted to use this, I think doing it in an upfront way would kind of obviate that because you're not saying, oh, I'm doing this without telling you. So, again, that's another reason if you're going to use this software to take that approach.
Interesting that they've chosen Australia as well, Angus. I mean, clearly it's had some degree of success in the United States, but I would assume that that is because we've got such a high smartphone ownership in this country.
I think that would apply. Let's also not underestimate that the national language is English, so they don't have to do any translation, which they have to do for a lot of other markets.
It is very popular, though, all around the world, and I guess interesting the origin of it. It was devised by some Californian parents, I believe. So I think it is something that many people would consider, Angus. Do you think it'll take off?
I think there will be a section of the market will say, this is what we'd like. We recognise that our kids are going to do this and we want to get involved. So I think there'll be some interest there. But whether people do it and then take advantage or whether they do it and think, oh, now I'm right and never look at the dashboard, in which case nothing has changed, that's what we won't find out until it's been on offer for a few months, I suppose.
And we've got different layers of privacy concern. You've got the children's privacy for a start, but then you've also got to store all of this information somewhere else. Can they guarantee that other people can't get access to all of the information and data that is stored, Angus?
Well, they've stated that, you know, that they've got a highly secured system and no one can get into it. As we've learnt from many incidents in recent years, there's no such thing as 100% pure security. There's always, there's always a risk that something might go wrong. So I don't think that would be a substantial risk. I don't think that would have got to this size without having a fairly good security system in place. But you can't offer an absolute guarantee because nobody can.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you've been able to, but I wonder what teenagers actually think about this. I mentioned it before, they're cleverer than us, the teenagers, and I'm sure if their parents will use the term spying on them, they'd be able to very quickly find a way around and let the parents know exactly what they're comfortable letting them see and take on all other conversations and sort of searching and the like, or social media discourse privately.
Exactly, that's the thing. I think there will be some who want to work around that. And I think if you create an environment where you're going to end up having fights with your teenagers and they're going to be competitive no matter what happens. But setting yourself up for that, I don't know, is the best way to really make sure they're using the tech right and that you've got some idea what they're doing.
Do you have any idea how much it costs this program, Angus? You had a look
so
at that?
They're charging $15 a month for it, which is for an unlimited number of kids. So if you have got the Brady Bunch, it doesn't cost you any more. So I think, it's clever pricing because it's enough they can clearly make a business out of it. At the same time, most parents are going to go, oh, well, $15 a month, that's not necessarily terribly much compared to their safety. But then you add that up over the year, that's not insubstantial. That's, $180-odd a year.
There might be
other ways to spend that money, but that's a decision that different parents will come to different conclusions on, I think.
Do you have children yourself?
I do not have children myself, but I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and so I have to offer family consulting advice on how to sort this out. And it's just not easy. There's no one single way of sorting it out.
So what's some of the advice that you do give, both the kids and the parents in your family, Angus?
Well, I think one of the key ones is you want to set rules and you want to set them early. You do want to say, okay, especially with kids when they're a bit younger than teenagers, you should know what the password is. They probably shouldn't know what the password is. They should need to come to you if they want to install something new. I think you need to start with that process because if you start that way, it'll get easier when they get older and you give them more control. They'll accept that's how it works. If you just hand them the device, let them be amused with it when they're three and they keep going, you're going to find it really hard to get those principles in place later if you haven't started with them early on.
Okay, and I know that we're getting into dangerous territory here and we're stuck for time, but I just wanted to ask, it's a question that is very, very broad, so you'll forgive me for asking it. How exactly does the cloud blend into all of this? I don't actually know how that all works.
Well, in this context, the cloud is the place where, all this data is zipping around in the cloud and information is being stored up there. It just means it's being stored online and you can access it online.
Right.
Ultimately, that's all the cloud is. You don't want to, overplay it. It just means it's being stored on some device that isn't yours, but you can get at it through your internet connection, is all the cloud amounts to.
Okay, so in very simple terms, that's actually helped me quite a bit. Thanks, Angus.
No worries, cheers, mate.
Angus Kidman, editor of Lifehacker Australia.